Welcome to the Health Ranger Show. I'm your host, Mike Adams, the Health Ranger, editor of naturalnews.com. And today we have a very interesting guest, an author, someone who's been touring around the country and around the world to talk about ways to stop prediabetes. He's got a new book called Stop Prediabetes Now. His name is Jack Challum. He's the author of Syndrome X and the Inflammation Syndrome and a book on food and mood that you can find. His website is nutritionreporter.com, and we have Jack in the studio with us today to talk about how you can stop prediabetes. Thanks for joining us today, Jack.
Hello, Mike. Good to be with you today.
Hey, it's a pleasure to have you in the studio. You know, I've been a fan of your work for several years now. I love your writing style. You're very down to earth, and your work is extremely well researched. And let's start with that research here this morning. Now, what do you find? Give us some statistics about prediabetes. How big of an issue is this for the health of Americans?
Well, let's start with overweight and obesity, which is really the stepping stone to prediabetes and then full-blown diabetes. Two-thirds of Americans overall are either overweight or obese. In that group, half of them are actually obese, which means beer belly syndrome, more than 30 pounds over their ideal weight. Men fare worse than women. 4 out of 5 American men are now overweight or obese.
4 out of 5 American men?
Yeah, that basically means 1 out of 5 is thin, and a high percentage of those is what researchers are increasingly calling pre-obese because they're flabby. They don't have much muscle because they just don't engage in a lot of physical activity.
All right, but people are hearing about this term prediabetes all over the place now. Does it always lead to diabetes?
It does if you don't do anything about it. And I view it as a window of opportunity. And 10 years ago, I was diagnosed with prediabetes. My blood sugar was at 111. I was 20 pounds heavier than I am right now. And through better eating habits, sort of rotating the supplements I use, more physical activity, my numbers today are better than normal.
So you believe very strongly in nutritional supplements to help prevent diabetes or control blood sugar?
They really work hand in hand with eating habits. And what I found was that supplements alone did not help me to lose the weight. I think they helped a little bit in terms of blood sugar. For many people, they really do, if you take the right supplements, improve blood sugar and insulin function.
Will you tell us about these supplements later on in the show?
Yes, I will.
People want to know the actual solutions. Okay, great. Now, do you have any more statistics about diabetes? What happens after you get diagnosed with diabetes if you don't stop this from occurring?
Well, a few more statistics. 20 million people currently have type 2 diabetes. We estimate around 100 million Americans with some form of prediabetes. It could be called impaired glucose tolerance, syndrome X. The terminology often reflects the type of method the doctor used to make the diagnosis.
So there are a lot of different names for the condition.
And basically, 1 million people each year are moving from being pre-diabetic to full-blown diabetic. And these are the official numbers from the medical journals. I think they're a little bit on the conservative side, but if you take them at face value, 10 years from now, there will be 30 million Americans with type 2 diabetes, which is diet-related diabetes.
Now, you say 1 million Americans a year are moving from prediabetes to officially designated diabetes. What percentage of those people do you think can halt that process and reverse their prediabetes?
I think virtually all of them can.
So 99%?
99%. And it takes a little bit of effort, and people often will whine to me and say, "Well, I don't have the time to make all these dietary changes." And I say, "Well, then make the time to be disabled in 10 or 15 years."
Right.
And then they start to connect the dots, and they realize that they're at a crossroads in life.
Well, because the number one cause of amputations, leg amputations in this country is Diabetes, diabetic neuropathy,
eye disease, kidney disease. These are the traditional issues that doctors point to. But there's another big issue, and that is, up to this point, the rate of heart disease and cancer has either been leveling off or decreasing in this country. This is going to change dramatically in the next 5 years because of the pre-diabetes / diabetes epidemic.
Because...
And one way to look at overweight and pre-diabetes and diabetes is ground zero in the next wave of catastrophic disease. They're going to increase the risk of heart disease, cancer, Alzheimer's, virtually every chronic disease.
How does a person listening to this right now, how do they know if they might have prediabetes? Are there some simple symptoms that you could make them aware of?
Yeah, there are. And the thing that I look at as soon as someone comes into my office is, what's their weight look like? And if they have fat around the belly, that's almost certainly a sign of prediabetes.
How much fat? I mean, everybody's got a little bit of fat after age 30, it seems.
Yeah,
I have a little bit here. I wouldn't mind getting rid of it.
It does seem that way, but it seems like even 5 to 10 extra pounds will increase your risk. And the more extra pounds you have, the more roly-poly Pillsbury Doughboy sort of fat you have, the worse it is.
And the beer gut, where you can't see your belt anymore, that's a pretty good sign.
Yeah, and when men are looking like they're 9 months pregnant and about to deliver, I mean, that's almost certainly a sign. Energy levels track with blood sugar, and typically high blood sugar increases tiredness and fatigue. So people who feel tired all the time, that's another clue to whether they're pre-diabetic or diabetic.
And by the way, for those listening, there's no judgment in this, by the way. If this describes you, if you have a beer gut, if you're overweight, it's not a judgment on you, because much of what got you into that situation is not your fault, because you were not given accurate information by the medical establishment. You were not given accurate information by your doctor. You can now get accurate information in this book, Stop Prediabetes Now. You can find that through Jack's website, nutritionreporter.com. So don't look at yourself and get depressed. Look at yourself now that you're listening to this and get optimistic, because now solutions are available. And you're going to tell us more solutions here on the show, right, Jack?
Yes, I will.
All right. Now, we have a couple minutes before the break. Any other important statistics that people should know about what this disease causes if it's allowed to progress?
Well, I think the key here is just to see it as ground zero in all the things that will be affecting you health-wise in the worst possible way. A lot of people of our generation grow up thinking, you know, I don't want to follow in my parents' footsteps in terms of their deteriorating health. And one of the changes that's occurring because of an increasingly bad American diet is people are developing their parents' diseases at ages much younger than their parents were.
Right. Your dad had heart disease in his 60s or 50s, and today a lot of people are getting it in their 40s and sometimes 30s.
Yeah, and there are many reasons for this. One is that people often start eating junkier foods at younger age. When my father was around, there was no such thing as McDonald's. And I was overjoyed at 9 years of age when a McDonald's opened up a block from where I live.
Oh, wow. That must have put you on a real fast track towards junk food consumption there.
I think it really was part of this cumulative effect of a bad early diet.
All right, well, you are listening to the Health Ranger Show, an exclusive interview with Jack Chalom, author of Stop Prediabetes Now. It's a book available through his website, nutritionreporter.com. And when we come back, we're going to ask Jack about solutions, natural, safe solutions that can really stop prediabetes and prevent you from going down that road towards disease and disability. So stay tuned. We'll be right back after this break. Welcome back to the Health Ranger Show. You're listening to an exclusive interview with Jack Chalom about how you can stop your pre-diabetes so you never get diabetes and you don't need the dangerous pharmaceuticals used to treat that disease. We are talking about solutions right here, right now, live in the studio with Jack Chalom, and you can find his website at nutritionreporter.com. Now, Jack, I've got a question for you. During the break, we were chatting about some of the hidden causes of diabetes and pre-diabetes. People don't even realize how they're being impacted by things like antidepressants. And can you talk about some of these hidden causes?
Well, in the Stop Pre-Diabetes Now book, I have a list of drugs that impact either weight or blood sugar. And we don't have to go down the entire list, but Prozac and other antidepressants are really among the top offenders. And as you know, these are very widely prescribed drugs, but they do tend to pack on the pounds.
How much weight? Because I was just looking at this research recently too. Do you happen to have those numbers at hand?
No, but it doesn't surprise me that it would pack on a lot of weight because, in a sense, there's a negative synergism here. You've got the antidepressant drugs. You've got a bad diet. You've got stress, which puts on pounds. You've got a whole bunch of factors coming together. And it doesn't surprise me at all that people will pack on 25 to 50 pounds when they're in this sort of dead man walking situation.
Yeah, and that's, by the way, the research says that's just in the first year. The average person gains over 20 pounds, and half of the users gain as much as 60 pounds of body fat in 1 year using antidepressants. And that, I think, would make anybody more depressed.
Yeah, exactly. And then in men, there's yet another side effect that's very common from these drugs, and that is a decrease in sexual libido. Basically, the drugs make men go limp.
Yeah, that's so kind if of you're, depressing all
yeah,
by itself.
So if you were mildly depressed when you started the drug, you would be far more depressed after a few months of taking it.
Yeah, you get up, you look in the mirror, you've gained 60 pounds, and you can't perform in bed anymore. That's pretty depressing, and it's caused by the antidepressants. That's what a shame.
Yeah, and you know, there's the term iatrogenic disease, which is basically a Greek word, and it means physician-caused disease. And it's interesting that I've just been rereading some studies about whenever doctors go on strike, and they've done this several times in Israel, they've done this in Los Angeles and Chicago, the death rate decreases, and the morticians get scared because they're business suddenly drops.
And so this is incredible.
Modern medicine is one of the leading causes of death in this country.
Yes, that's true. Even according to modern medicine, their own research shows that pharmaceuticals kill over 100,000 Americans a year, and physicians kill, I think the latest numbers, not deliberately, of course, but 750,000 people a year.
Yeah, it's amazing, and these are not numbers or facts we're pulling out of thin air. I mean, this has been written up in major journals like the British Medical Journal.
Indeed. Okay, now let's get back to stopping diabetes, and we did promise the listeners we're going to talk about solutions, but first I want to finish the question I opened this segment with. What are some other hidden causes of diabetes? Maybe ingredients in food that people should really avoid if they're on that pathway towards pre-diabetes.
Exactly. There are a number of food-related issues, and again, think in terms of both overweight and pre-diabetes being intertwined like a twisted rope. And number one, sugars and refined carbohydrates. And among the sugars, it's not just sucrose, but the high fructose corn syrup seems to be even worse.
And that's the one that sweetens all the sodas.
Yeah. Over the last 20 years, the junk food industry has basically moved from sucrose, the white table sugar, to high fructose corn syrup for a number of manufacturing and shelf life reasons. But the high fructose corn syrup seems to do a better job of packing on the pounds. The fructose component increases insulin. It may not have much of an effect on blood sugar per se, but insulin is really the key factor in prediabetes and diabetes and overweight, and this is something most doctors overlook.
Maybe they should have a new line of soft drinks called, you know, pack on the pounds soda or diabetes drink, diabetes drink with extra aspartame.
One of the ways I refer to soft drinks, and I told this to a doctor's group I was giving a lecture to recently, saying that Coca-Cola and Pepsi should be hauled into court for practicing medicine without a license, because what they are dispensing are glucose tolerance tests. And one can of soft drink basically has as much of, if not more, glucose and fructose than you would get in a test in a doctor's office.
Do you think that these companies, Coke and Pepsi in particular, are largely or at least partially responsible for the diabetes epidemic?
I think they are guilty in large part. But there are other food ingredients that are just as sinister that some of these companies don't get involved with in terms of soft drinks. Trans fats. There have been good studies showing that trans fats increase the formation of fat around the belly specifically, and they will add several pounds over several years.
And these can be found in the partially hydrogenated oils?
Yeah, they're in partially hydrogenated oils, which are in most processed foods. If you get French fries, they've been bathed in basically an oil bath rich in trans fats. Forget about what the junk food companies say, that they're taking the trans fats out. When you heat these oils, you create trans fats.
Well, yeah, and they lie on the packages, too. They say 0 grams of trans fat, and listeners should know that the FDA allows them to lie because if they have 0.5 grams or less of trans fat per serving, they can say it's zero.
Exactly. They can round it off to zero.
Yeah, what kind of rounding? Where do they go to school to learn math?
Yeah, and one of the examples I give to show how this can build up is if you look at a lot of commercial packages of tortillas, and some of these are very appealing products, whole wheat, low-carb tortillas, and they'll say zero trans fats. And if you look at the ingredient list on the back, you'll see hydrogenated oil. And so they're basically under that half-gram amount per tortilla.
Now,
I don't know.
Keep getting smaller.
Yeah, I don't know anyone who eats just one tortilla at a sitting.
No.
And so when you're eating two or three or four, you're getting a pretty hefty amount of trans fats.
Well, the same thing with cookies and crackers and baked goods. They all have these hydrogenated oils, it seems, even if they say 0 grams of trans fat on the label. Now, you are listening to an exclusive interview with Jack Chalom, author of Stop Prediabetes Now. That's a new book. You got to check it out. It's called The Ultimate Plan to Lose Weight and Prevent Diabetes. You can find it on his website, nutritionreporter.com. And we'll be right back after this break with more great information and solutions coming up from Jack Chalom. Stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Health Ranger Show. You're listening to an exclusive interview with a nationally and internationally known author, an expert on preventing prediabetes. In fact, he's a nutrition expert. His name is Jack Chalom. You can find him online at nutritionreporter.com. That's his nickname, the Nutrition Reporter, just like mine is the Health Ranger. And here's a fact that you may not have known, that both of us, Jack and myself, used to be prediabetic. Both of us used to be considerably overweight. I was borderline obese. Were you ever near obesity?
Oh, yeah. I at one point, my weight was about 170 to 175 pounds. So my body mass index probably was up around 29 or 30 at that point.
That doesn't sound heavy to a lot of people. 170.
No. But you know,
I'm heavier than that.
I'm only 5'7". But when I changed my eating habits, I dropped 20 pounds without even trying to lose the weight.
Ah.
And I basically stopped eating pasta. And I lost my taste for it. This was back in 1999. And, you know, it was I was going through some changes in my personal life and stopped eating it and didn't even realize I lost the weight until friends started to suggest that I go get some new pairs of slacks because everything was kind of baggy in back.
Well, so you're saying that just changing the food that you eat can have a tremendously positive effect on losing weight and stopping prediabetes. Let's go into that segment now. Can you give the listeners here some specific foods or food strategies that they can follow to prevent diabetes and stop their prediabetes?
Okay. One of the most important keys is to eat breakfast and to make that breakfast contain quality protein. One or two eggs, maybe a little bit of deli turkey and cheese, or if you have some leftover roast chicken from the night before. Almost doesn't matter what you eat with that. Could be some whole wheat toast, could be some fresh fruit, which is what I would lay my money on.
Yeah.
But having a protein-based breakfast stabilizes blood sugar, and it actually reduces appetite for the next day and a half. And there have been studies showing that people who have a couple of eggs and toast instead of a bagel, cream cheese, and orange juice, they end up eating 420 fewer calories over the next day and a half.
Wow.
Their mood gets better also.
And work performance.
So there are a lot of benefits. And a lot of people, again, will say, well, I don't have the time to do this. So one of the techniques I use is on a Sunday morning, I'll saute some veggies, scramble five or six eggs, and then I'll basically pack these things in plastic containers or ramekins, and I'll have one breakfast Sunday morning and then the other two Monday and Tuesday morning.
So you're kind of batch preparing.
Exactly. And just pop it in the microwave for a minute to reheat it. You know, if you like hard-boiled eggs, you can hard-boil a bunch of those. It's easier than most people think, and many people are sort of in this morning panic attack, so they're not really thinking straight. The protein helps them to think straight,
yeah.
And then everything sort of falls into place.
So don't have a big carbohydrate breakfast, or when you're traveling, they call it a continental breakfast.
Yeah,
it's all carbs.
Yeah, avoid
sugars.
The carbs, avoid the continental breakfast. Don't have a Coca-Cola for breakfast.
That's a sign of prediabetes. If you're drinking Coke for breakfast, you need to have your head examined.
And it's interesting because when people's blood sugar improves, they crave less in the way of sweets.
Oh, that's true, yeah.
So,
and what about the proteins, though? I always warn people against the bacon and the sausage because of the sodium nitrite and the cancer risk. I mean, obviously, they need to choose safer protein, safer meats if they're going to eat meat, not the bacon and sausage, right?
That's my preference. I certainly give my clients a little bit of leeway in terms of, you know, this all comes down to one step at a time, and some people take small steps, others
right.
Take bigger steps, but my preference would be for quality protein, eggs, omega-3 rich eggs, if you're concerned about eggs. Again, a little bit of leftover roast chicken, some deli turkey, a lot of organic brands of deli turkey at health food stores, Whole Foods, even Trader Joe's.
All right, so that covers breakfast, and I also want to mention there's a lot of research I've seen recently that says people who skip breakfast always gain weight.
Exactly, and they think they're cutting their calories because they're skipping breakfast. They end up eating more calories the rest of the day.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, what about lunch? What should people eat or drink for lunch?
A lot of people have lunch on the go. And so instead of getting a burger and fries, they can get a burger or a chicken breast minus the bun, and they can ask for some steamed veggies or a salad instead of the fries. This doesn't work in McDonald's,
right.
but it'll work in most sit-down type restaurants.
Well, I think it's fair to say that if you're trying to stop diabetes and you find yourself sitting in the drive-thru at McDonald's, that your goals are not congruent with your plan, your strategy. I mean, fast food, you really have to change your eating habits to stop pre-diabetes.
Yeah, one way to look at this is if we wanted to create diabetes and a bunch of lab rats, feed them McDonald's and Burger King and KFC all the time.
Yeah.
And is it any big surprise that people who are eating this type of diet become pre-diabetic, overweight, and then diabetic?
Well, yeah, I wrote an article once. It was a recipe for diabetes. I don't know if you saw that, but it's the five steps to give yourself diabetes. And if you look at that recipe, that's exactly what most consumers are doing in this country today. That's why I really love your book, Jack. And I think for those listening, you should really check this out. It's called Stop Pre-Diabetes Now. You can find that at nutritionreporter.com. And Jack has also written several other books that are very, very informative. The Inflammation Syndrome, how to reduce inflammation, chronic inflammation, including the types that affect cardiovascular disease, by changing your diet. And we have a couple minutes in this segment, but I want to ask you, are you going to tell us about the nutritional supplements you recommend, right?
Yes, I will. Let's do that after the next commercial break. One of the other points I wanted to get across about diet is a lot of the food choices come down to fresh versus processed. And what is processed food? It's basically anything that comes in a box, can, jar, bottle, or bag. And it doesn't mean it's necessarily bad. Olive oil is very good and comes in a bottle. But it's your first red flag, because fruits and veggies don't come in a box.
Right.
If you want to buy a salmon fillet, that does not usually come in a box. And people will say, well, I don't have the time to cook fresh foods. Well, number one, it doesn't take a lot of time beyond what you would ordinarily be spending in the kitchen. But again, I always bring people back to this idea. You can make the time now, or you can make the time to be disabled in a few years.
Well, and I say blend. I have a Vitamix. Every breakfast that I have is actually just a blended superfood smoothie with raw foods, usually some avocado, fresh fruits, sometimes vegetable juices that I make. It takes me 4 minutes. I mean, it's faster than a microwave and a toaster.
Yeah. One of the things that helps people become less resistant to these dietary changes is after day one, they feel so much better that by the time they get up on day two, their energy levels are better. They're in less of this sort of chronic low-grade panic mode.
Yeah,
and again, things start falling into place.
Well, think about that, folks. When you have more energy and you have better mental function, you essentially have more time. So eating this way is a net benefit, giving you more time. Now, we'll be right back after this break. We're going to ask Jack for his recommendations on the exact nutritional supplements or nutrients that you should look for that can help control blood sugar even better than medication. Wait till you hear this information. You're going to love it. You're listening to The Health Ranger Show. We'll be right back after this break. Welcome back to The Health Ranger Show. You are listening to an exclusive interview with author Jack Chalom. He's the author of a book that you need to know about. It's called Stop Pre-Diabetes Now, and it gives you the strategies, the exact details that you need to prevent the progression towards diabetes, which is a disease you don't want to have. Believe me, now both Jack and I used to be pre-diabetic. We both cured our conditions using nutrition and natural medicine. Both of us did. So we have a lot of experience here in the studio right now about this. Now, Jack, before the break, we were talking about nutritional supplements that you recommend. So give us the lowdown. What should people be looking for?
Well, there are quite a few supplements that are very well documented from scientific double-blind clinical trials to improve insulin function and blood sugar. Alpha-lipoic acid, an antioxidant, has been used in Germany for some 30 years to treat diabetes. Here, It's an antioxidant supplement. It's sold over the counter.
ALA, typically,
yeah,
is what
yeah. Silymarin, of all the herbs, this is the one that has the best evidence.
Three, milk thistle extract?
Yeah, yeah. Three clinical trials now show that it normalizes or basically starts to normalize all of the signs of prediabetes and full-blown diabetes.
Now, for those listening, will you repeat all of these in a couple of minutes so
oh,
people
yeah,
can write
yeah,
them down?
Yeah.
Okay.
Alpha-lipoic acid, silymarin, chromium. I can't even count the number of clinical trials on chromium helping in blood sugar disorders.
And does it help by increasing insulin sensitivity?
It increases insulin sensitivity, which is a good thing, because the more sensitive your insulin is, the less you need and the better it handles blood sugar. Vitamin D, there's been a good clinical trial showing that it helps maintain blood sugar levels. In contrast, a placebo group had a substantial 6-point increase in blood sugar over about a 3-year period.
What was the decrease from vitamin D?
It just kept blood sugar levels at the same level.
Even instead
yeah,
of the in, increase.
Instead of the normal increase you would expect over time.
How many points of reduction of blood sugar can people expect to see if they take the best supplements available in the industry? What's the maximum impact?
They can see substantial decreases, and in some of my clients, I'm seeing 30 to 40 point decreases in fasting blood sugar within the first month of taking one particular supplement.
That's incredible.
And
that's a better result than taking blood sugar medication.
Yeah,
usually.
Yeah, and far safer. And one of the stories in my book, I don't go into all the details there, but with all my books, I've gone to different vitamin companies and I've said, would you work with me on a formula that I can recommend in the book based on the research in the book? And most of the companies say, what a great idea, and that's where the idea also dies, because yeah, nothing ever happens. And so I went to Susan Carlson of Carlson Laboratories, who I've known for about 35 years, and I said, would you work with me on this? And she said, of course.
So you put together your recipe.
We basically created a high-potency multivitamin, multimineral, 2 capsules a day. I mean, you know, part of it is the simplicity and the elegance of it. It has the lipoic acid, silymarin, chromium, vanadium, extra vitamin D, extra biotin, which is a B vitamin that turns on genes involved in regulating insulin and blood sugar, and also vitamin K, which last year was discovered to be involved in an insulin-regulating hormone.
Now, what's the name of this supplement, and where can people find it?
It's called Nutra Support Diabetes, and it's available through the Carlson Labs website, carlsonlabs.com.
So Carlson Labs.
.com. Or their 800 number, 1-800-323-4141.
Okay, 1-800-323-4141 or carlsonlabs.com. And just for those listening, so you know, I don't have any financial involvement in the Carlson Labs company. I don't earn anything from the sales of that product. But it is a product that I think you need to know about, because so many people are turning to medication now based on the advice of their doctor. But doctors don't know about this nutritional information typically. A few do. I know a few do. Good for them. But most do not. And they're not making these recommendations that you can find in your book, Stop Pre-Diabetes Now. And so they're denying people access to the safe solutions for controlling blood sugar, don't you think?
Well, of course they are. And they're basically under the thumbs of the pharmaceutical industry. And many doctors have told me that their major source of education after med school is the drug company rep.
That's a shame.
And the drug company rep is not going to talk about nutrition. He's going to talk about the latest high-priced drug that probably ends up killing more people than it saves.
Yeah, a lot of these diabetes drugs destroy liver function. Remember the old drug, Rezulin? How many people did that drug kill?
Or Avandia, which increases the risk of heart attack. And people with diabetes are already at an average 6 times higher risk of a heart attack than the average person. So, you know, when you get into the medical treatment of overweight or prediabetes or diabetes, I mean, this is really a beautiful example of physician-caused disease. They make the situation worse rather than better.
What would your advice be to someone listening to this show who's on those medications right now and is hearing this and saying, gee, I'd like to get off of those medications safely and get onto something more natural, more effective, that's a lot safer? What steps would you encourage them to take?
A number of things. One would be to look for a nutritionally oriented physician, MD, DO, DC, ND, to help them navigate this transition. It's always safer when you're working with a physician when you're reducing your med intake and increasing your supplements.
Right. Don't just fire your doctor and stop taking your meds.
Yeah. But you know, there isn't a lot of risk in some people actually doing this themselves. They just have to pay attention to how they feel. One of my clients decided on his own that his blood sugar had dropped 50 points after taking NutriSupport Diabetes, that he realized he didn't have to keep taking Avandia.
So he just stopped the drugs on
his own. So he stopped taking it. His energy levels are better. I mean, he feels absolutely great.
Oh, I'm sure. Well, the toxicity of these drugs is so great. Well, the other thing I want to mention that I think people should do is educate themselves. As they're doing this, before they even start the process, you know, pick up a copy of this book, folks, Stop Prediabetes Now. It's a great read. Buy an extra copy for your doctor. Take it into the doctor's office and leave a copy for him or her. They might learn something from it.
Yeah, and if the doctor says, well, there isn't a lot of science behind it, about half the references for the book are at the back of the book.
Yeah, I saw that. It's
and all of them are up on the website, nutritionreporter.com.
What you have well over, looks like over a
there are a few hundred, total references.
Wow. Well, there's no question. I mean, the research is clear that you can cure diabetes and prevent it easily by changing what you eat and changing your nutritional supplementation. That's very clear. Wouldn't you agree with that?
It is so obvious that, you know, you wonder why doctors or graduated from medical school without knowing this stuff.
I mean,
a lot of it comes down to basic biochemistry, and part of the explanation is most doctors in med school or pre-med, they fail biochemistry, but the professor is kind enough to pass them so it doesn't hurt their academic record. And I've seen this in medical schools. I mean, it's unbelievable when the professors comfort all of these distraught students who come in with Fs on their biochem midterms.
Oh my, okay. So folks, if you're putting your fate in the hands of a physician who has just been trained in medical school and has not learned nutrition outside of medical school, then you could possibly be putting yourself in harm's way. Educate yourself with additional information. Teach yourself the truth about how you can stop prediabetes and prevent type 2 diabetes from ever occurring. You can stop it. People are curing diabetes all the time. Jack and I in the studio here, we both cured our own prediabetic condition using the same information that's found in this book. The author, again, is Jack Chalom, who's been with us on this show. The book is Stop Prediabetes Now, The Ultimate Plan to Lose Weight and Prevent Diabetes. The website is nutritionreporter.com. You've been listening to The Health Ranger Show. You'll find a transcript of this show at naturalnews.com. Thanks for joining me, and we'll talk to you again soon.